Fasten your seatbelts and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip.
Come with me to this house of living. Join with me and I'll join with you. Come on by and we'll learn by giving. I like to share and I want you to.
I'm Glenn Moberg, and today on Route 51, as we head into the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays, it's time to sit down together, break bread, and share food, stories, and our love for each other. But why do so many families not find the time to share meals together every day of the year instead of just on special occasions like the Thanksgiving holiday? What would it mean for America's culture, for our society, and the stability of our families and homes if people simply took the time every day to eat together and spend time together? And what does it say about our mass consumer culture and its lack of values that we no longer even take one day out of the year to share a Thanksgiving meal and sit on our sofas and easy chairs to enjoy each other's company, but instead are told by big box retailers that we need to run right outside, even on Thanksgiving, and shop? And instead of giving thanks for what we have, we worry instead about all of the things we want or think we need. Today, we profile a unique initiative born in Marathon County in central Wisconsin. It's called the Real Happy Hour, and it's an effort to get families every day to break from their busy lives and spend time over dinner getting to know each other. Our guests are the local champions of this homegrown initiative: Aaron Ruff, public health educator with the Marathon County Health Department; Melissa Beck, community development coordinator with the Girl Scouts of the Northwestern Great Lakes; and Linda Kepke, program director with Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Central Wisconsin. Now, we especially want to hear from you this hour. What do you think of the importance of families sitting down together and sharing meals? What do you think of our hectic, consumer-driven culture and the effort to destroy even the Thanksgiving holiday by turning it into just another day to shop? Maybe you have a story about a mealtime conversation with your family, or a story about Thanksgiving. Well, this show works best when you're part of it, so as always, we invite you to join the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 1-800-780-9742. That phone number again, 1-800-780-9742. We've got wide open phone lines right now. You can get right in line if you'd like, and we'd also invite you to share your thoughts on the Route 51 Facebook page. Again, that's 1-800-780-9742. Aaron Ruff, this is not a national program or an initiative. This Real Happy Hour thing is something that you and others came up with right here in central Wisconsin. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the Real Happy Hour started in April of 2012. It was the first kind of planning meeting. And really, the Real Happy Hour is actually a concept that the Wausau School District had used a few years ago as part of a social norming campaign. And so the idea was kind of here in the community, and after that social norming campaign went away, we had community partners saying, hey, what about the Real Happy Hour? Whatever happened to that? And so we kind of brought people back together. It was really a collaboration between three of our community coalitions: the Alcohol and Other Drug Partnership, the Healthy Eating Active Living Coalition, and the Early Years Coalition, which focuses on early childhood development. We kind of brought that group back together and said, we have this initiative, the Real Happy Hour. How can we bring it back into the community? How can we kind of give it some legs and start promoting the ideas of quality family time, especially with family dinners and family playtime? And that's how it all started.
The name itself, the Real Happy Hour, seems like a takeoff on Wisconsin's alcohol culture.
Absolutely. And that was kind of the beauty in the name, is it is thought-provoking. It does make people stop and think to say, the Real Happy Hour, what are you talking about here? And when we've presented this at, you know, health fairs or throughout the community, people say, the Real Happy Hour. And then we say, yes, eating together, spending quality time together. And then they say, oh, okay, they understand it. So it is a nice kind of play on words, but it really kind of hammers home that message too.
Why do you feel this is so important?
Well, you know, we're not here promoting family mealtime because we think it's a great thing. This is steeped in research. I mean, a lot of the things that, you know, we see with youth serving organizations or community organizations is that family mealtime does matter, and that families play a key role in the development of children and teens. I want to share one quick story. A few weeks ago, there was a library series, and Gene Berger, who is the 4-H healthy living agent for Marathon County, shared a tool called the 40 Developmental Assets. And these are basically the 40 things that a young person needs to experience to become healthy and successful.
Mm-hmm.
Number one on that list is family. And it's really establishing those positive relationships with the family members. So if a young person has a supportive family, they're going to be more likely to be successful. Number two is positive communication. And so when we talk about family mealtime, quality family time, it's about those quality, positive conversations and positive relationships. And then number three quickly is having an adult in your life that's a non-parent.
Uh-huh.
And so when we talk about organizations like the Girl Scouts who are here and Big Brothers Big Sisters, those are organizations that have a role model type setting where young people can learn from an adult that's not their parent and can establish a positive relationship with them. So those top three things really tell us that those relationships with family or with a non-parent adult are so important in a child's life. And, you know, family mealtime is one of those primary settings where all of those positive interactions can take place.
Well, let's move on to some of these other organizations. Melissa Beck, why are the Girl Scouts involved in the Real Happy Hour?
You know, when Aaron came to us several months back, it was a really, I think, an easy, natural fit for us. I had been intrigued by the Real Happy Hour for quite some time. And as we look in Girl Scouts at what our values are for girls to develop positive senses of themselves and those around them and to take action in their communities to make essentially the world a better place. We looked at all the different tools that the Real Happy Hour had, and it was a very, very easy fit for us. So essentially, Aaron and I sat down and we came up with this entire program. We have a Real Happy Hour patch program for our Girl Scout Council, all these steps that girls can take to discover what their family's Real Happy Hour is.
So you can actually get a patch?
Exactly.
Says the Real Happy Hour on it?
Yes, they can. And the beauty of this program, what I loved about the Real Happy Hour is there's all these online resources that essentially cost nothing. And so it's this very easy fit. It's a great way for families that don't know where to start. We give them all these steps, yet there's really no cost to them. And so for us, it was this opportunity to not only connect girls within maybe their troops, but with their families, to bring those positive values back to their families, and then to educate their community around them to say, hey, this is how my family discovered what our Real Happy Hour is, and I want to teach you how to do the same.
So it's the Girl Scouts of the Northern Great Lakes. Tell me about your region and some of the young women that you serve.
Sure. So our council is 58 counties across the northern part of Wisconsin and the UP of Michigan. It is a big territory. So the communities that I serve are the majority of the school districts in Marathon County. And so I get to work with a lot of troops and troop leaders in the Wausau, Everest, Wittenberg, Brenwood, Mosinee, and Marathon school districts. And so I'm seeing a lot of these families, a lot of these leaders and girls who are looking for more ways to get involved in their communities. A lot of our leaders, like what Aaron was saying, just being this positive example for their girls. And so, you know, just having one more tool for them to utilize to get more plugged into their communities and giving these girls unique leadership opportunities.
And Linda Koepke, why is Big Brothers Big Sisters involved? I think I already know the answer to that, but let's hear it in your words.
Well, our main goal is to build positive relationships in our community, whether it's with families and littles and bigs. That's what we call them, our little brothers and our little sisters and our bigs who are our volunteers, to build positive, meaning, mentoring relationships. So this was mm-hmm. a natural fit because, like, for example, last year in 2012, we served 435 kids here in Marathon, Lincoln County. So that's a lot of families that we're touching, and we were able to bring the Real Happy Hour into all the kids and the families that we are serving to really spread this message.
How many of the kids you serve are from dysfunctional families, single-parent families, and so on? And I'm not implying
right.
that all single-parent families are dysfunctional.
Right. And really that's not the criteria for enrolling your child as a little. However, I would say about 75% of our kids are coming from single-family homes. And this is a new statistic that's come in the last couple of years, is 12.9% of our children are living in with a family member who is incarcerated, not in Marathon County Jail, in prison. So that, if you know, stop to think about, that's a pretty big percentage of our kids
wow.
who are living this life of mom, dad in prison. that they're trying to struggle, and their whole world is so different than what I grew up as.
Well, you know, in America, we incarcerate, lock up more people than any other country in the world as a percentage of our population, which is, you know, a startling statistic to think about in a land where we value freedom so much. We've got so many people locked up. So my question is sharing meals particularly important to young people who, for whatever reason, don't have families or a father or a mother figure in their lives?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm a product of that. My parents were very rigid about dinner times. We had to eat dinner as a family every single night. Granted, we weren't as busy as families are today with soccer and band and the theater, which our family is very, you know, busy with. But we did have to make a point every night at 5:30, and we watched Tom Brokaw on the nightly news, and we ate dinner. So I did bring that into my family, where we have to sit down and eat as many meals as we can during the week together. And not only did I have to eat dinner as a family when I was little, my mom and dad made me get up and get breakfast on Saturday and Sunday morning as a family. I could go back to bed, but I had to eat breakfast with my family.
Before I forget, because if I don't ask you now, I'm going to forget, tell us where people can find out more about Big Brothers Big Sisters, because I'm sure you're looking for positive role models.
Always.
Even now in young people's lives.
Yeah, currently in Marathon Lincoln County, we have about 140 kids waiting for a mentor in our two different programs. We have our school-based program where volunteers can meet with a little in the school during the school day, during the school year. So it's kind of a really quick, efficient way to do your volunteer and really make a difference in a child's life. Then we have our community-based program where the child meets with their big out in the community doing the activities that our community offers. And then we have a really great new partnership that it's called club-based mentoring, meaning we have partnered with the Boys and Girls Club right here in town. And we match volunteers with littles who are not only littles in our program, but also club members. And they meet at the Boys and Girls Club and do activities and use their site.
Yeah, and if people want to find out more, is there a website they can
go to,
a phone number?
It's bbbsncw.org or 715-848-7207.
All right. Give me that again one more time.
715-848-7207.
And Erin Linda just told us that, you know, she growing up, mealtime was very important. Did you have a similar experience when you were a child?
Yeah. When I think about family mealtime when I was a kid, there's a particular thing that I always think of. And it was the summers where my brother and I were playing Little League Baseball. And we would be home. I think I was maybe 7th or 8th grade, and he was in 4th or 5th. He was 2 years behind me. But every summer we'd stay home alone during the day, and we'd have, you know, baseball pretty much right. My parents would come home from work, we'd have to eat quick, and we'd be right off to baseball practice. But I remember many of those summer meals were us boiling Oscar Mayer hot dogs and putting a can of baked beans in the microwave. And we would literally have the food hot and ready to go. And if my parents weren't there, we would wait. We would set the table, and we would wait until they came in the door. We would all sit down, and we would eat. Maybe it was 5 or 10 minutes before we had to leave for the baseball game, but we always waited. My brother and I always waited, and I still think, why did we wait? I mean, we were young boys. We were hungry, and we knew we were hungry, but we always waited for mom and dad to come, to sit down, and to just have that meal together. So,
well, Erin, you're a lot younger than I am, but when I was a young boy growing up in the Chicago area, I went to a grade school that was about a mile from my house, and I used to ride my little Schwinn bicycle there. This was in the 50s. And they would let the school out. I'd swear it was for like an hour and 15 minutes, maybe an hour and a half every day for lunch, so that the kids could ride home, back home.
Sure.
And I'd get home, and my mom would be there serving lunch for us. And then after school, my dad would take the Chicago and Northwestern train in from downtown Chicago, ride his bike home, and we always have a family meal together. My mom, my dad, and me and my two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother was a stay-at-home mom.
Right.
And families were able to have one family member at home a lot easier back then than
sure.
they can now.
Sure.
You know, so the question is, How difficult is it for some kids to find family time to sit down together because we're all so darn busy?
I think you hit it on the head right there, and that's what we've heard kind of throughout this whole Real Happy Hour campaign is people say, well, I don't have time. I don't know where to start. You know, how do I find time to cook a healthy meal or go grocery shopping and plan the menu and all of those types of things? And that's one of the things that we've addressed with the Real Happy Hour campaign is we created a family mealtime toolkit. And our registered dietitian at the health department was the one that helped formulate this whole toolkit. It really does kind of break it down for families to say, you know, this can be done. You can plan and really involve all family members because it's easier if you get help from mom, dad, the kids to uh-huh. create a healthy meal.
Now, you've got a website. It's
yes.
Give me the address, please.
The website is therealhappyhour.org.
Therealhappyhour.org. All one word.
Correct.
And you've also got a Facebook page.
Yes, Facebook page. If you search The Real Happy Hour and you look for our nice big clock logo, you should that'll be the first one that'll pop up. So,
and let me move to Melissa. I asked the same question to Aaron and Linda, and I shared some of my own experiences so many, many years ago, it seems. But, you know, you're a young person. What was your experience growing up? Did your family always have mealtime together?
We did quite often. It might not have been every single night, but I think with all this creativity, oftentimes is the key. And so whether it was a family game or just doing our homework together or a meal, I think my family was kind of the poster child for that busy kid. And so when parents share that today, I can totally relate. We had something every single night of the week. We were involved in everything. I couldn't do Girl Scouts as a girl because I was too busy, and so I've been there before. But my family, both my parents worked, but they always found a way. Maybe it wasn't every single day, but multiple times a week I remember sitting down and having those positive interactions. Even like Aaron said, if it was 10 minutes before you had to go out the door, it was still a point to sit down together and to make the most of those 10 minutes that we had.
And if you go to our Route 51 Facebook page, you will see a link to the Real Happy Hour and the Big Brothers Big Sisters websites. You've got a website too, Melissa, right?
I do, yep.
What is it?
It's gsnwgl.org, so Girl Scouts of the Northwestern Great Lakes.
Okay, so Jane is going to put that one on the website too, on our Facebook page. And if you want to go to the Route 51 Facebook page, share a question for our guests or a family story, something about you sitting down and having mealtime with your families, or maybe a Thanksgiving story that you can share with us, something amusing, put it on the Facebook page. We'll get it on the air. Or better yet, because this show always works better when you actually call us, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Share a story with us about your family, about whether you think it's important for families to sit down and have meals together. Maybe you've got a favorite Thanksgiving Day story or Christmas Day story with your family that you'd like to share with us. Or maybe, like I think everyone in this studio, maybe you're a little bit perplexed and a little bit disturbed that we have big box retail stores and malls opening on Thanksgiving, on this religious patriotic holiday, which is supposed to be one day where we always set it aside for families to sit down and share a meal together and share their love. Suddenly we're being told, you've got to go out and shop. Instead of counting your blessings, you have to worry about what you don't have and you think you want. What do you think of that? We'd like your opinions. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant.
We've come to the time in the season when family and friends gather near to offer a prayer of thanksgiving for blessings we've known through the years, to join hands and thank the Creator. Now when Thanksgiving is due, and This year when I count my blessings, I'm thanking the Lord He made you.
Today on Route 51, we are counting our blessings, the blessings of family, the blessings of Thanksgiving, the blessings of sitting down and sharing mealtime together with your family and your loved ones, not just on Thanksgiving, not just on special holidays, but as often as you can, ideally every day out of the year. It's an initiative called the Real Happy Hour. It's a homegrown initiative right here in central Wisconsin. This isn't a national program. It originated in Marathon County. And here on Route 51, we have Aaron Ruff of the Marathon County Health Department, Melissa Beck of the Girl Scouts, and also Linda Kepke of Big Brothers Big Sisters, all to talk about the Real Happy Hour. We'd like to hear from you if you've got a story to share with us, a family story about sitting down and having mealtime together. Maybe you can share with us what it was like when you were growing up and whether mealtime together was important for you. 1-800-780-9742, 1-800-780-9742. We would also like you to share with us how you feel about the trend of people not even sitting down on Thanksgiving to share a meal together on this traditional American holiday, and instead we're being told to go out and shop, even on Thanksgiving, by the big box stores and the national retailers. 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open. And that's where I want to pick up this conversation. You know, of course, it seems in this consumer-driven society, even one day a year is too much. The malls are open on Thanksgiving. Big box retailers are open. People essentially being told that their time together as families, not important. They need to run right outside. Even on traditional religious and patriotic holidays like Thanksgiving, and spend money, concentrating not on the blessings they have, but on the material goods they want. Aaron Ruff, is there a sickness to our society?
I think there's definitely forces working against families in our society these days. You know, when it comes to busy schedules, that's one thing. But then when you have corporate America kind of sticking their nose into these holidays, it really doesn't help the cause for what we're trying to promote as far as getting more families to sit down and cherish that time together. And, you know, with the big box stores taking over Thanksgiving, especially with the times this year, I mean, it is something that is a detriment to families, and it is infringing on, you know, families spending that quality time together.
And the employees have to show up
right.
on those days.
Exactly, too. So, I mean, you're not just thinking about the families who get together. It's about all those employees who have to work from 8 p.m. at night all through the night on Thanksgiving, too. So all of those factors really don't help the case for family meals in America.
Well, maybe you're one of these people who has to work on Thanksgiving. Give us a call, 1-800-780-9742. We'd like to hear from you. Linda Kepke, your opinions of turning Thanksgiving Day into a shopping day.
It's a sacred time, and for people to, you know, have to actually leave at 7, 8 p.m. to, especially the employees that have to go work and miss that time spending with family, which they might not get very often, it's heartening. It's a little sad. You know, we have good neighbors who own a local business here in town, and they made the effort and the decision not to open on Thanksgiving Day, and I applaud them, and I'm going to give them my business just because they have made that decision to keep family time sacred.
Well, there you go. Maybe if people actually vote mm-hmm. with their spending dollars this Christmas
exactly.
season, that'll make a difference. Melissa Beck, I'm going to give you a chance to weigh in, too.
I think we just have to remember that everything we do is sending a message, and that we're sending a message to our kids, and we're building a foundation for our kids. And so I agree wholeheartedly that, that, like Aaron said, this is infringing on family time, and it is sending a loud message to our kids and our teens about where our values are.
And we've got a number of small retailers, Linda, as you said, who aren't going along with the trend, but there are some big retailers, too, like Menards. And we don't have them in north central Wisconsin, but the national chain Costco, you know, they put their foots down and said family mealtime at Thanksgiving is too important, not just for their customers, but also for their employees to be open on those days.
But
Go on.
And I agree. You know, and I'm thinking back to the families that I work with. You know, a lot of those, the moms, dads are probably working in retail with a lower paying job that are now being forced to leave their kids one more time, you know, to do something, not being with them, you know, not spending that one day that Thanksgiving, hopefully everyone can sit around a table and eat together. And the kids that I work with aren't sitting around, you know, a table with their families on a nightly basis. And here's just one more time that they're not able to do it.
How can people with busy lives, multiple jobs, night shifts, the kinds of things we have to do just to get by today, how can they find time to eat together?
My family is a poster child of busy families, probably like when Melissa growing up. We have two, sometimes three things a night with our kids. But we make time, whether it's sometimes we might eat at 4:15 to get it done and have our family time before we're running like crazy people for the rest of the night. Or we have had times where we're in between activities, and I was just mentioning this to Aaron, and it might not be the healthiest thing, but we'd pick up a $5 pizza and we go down by the Schofield Dam and sit on a bench and eat our pizza by the river and walk around and talk to the fishermen and spend that time together in between different activities. So it can be done. It's just a matter of really prioritizing your time.
But, well, that's making it fun, too, when you do something like that. Go out and have a picnic
and
together.
Talk to the fishermen. They're the coolest people to talk to that are fishing on the dam.
And I want to add, too, that the magic that happens at family dinners isn't the food on the table. It's the relationships and it's the conversation. So even if it is a Little Caesar's pizza at the picnic table, it's still about being together and having positive conversation. And that's one thing that with The Real Happer we want to stress is family dinners or quality family time is whatever that means to you. So if it's a three-course meal on Christmas Eve with your family, that might be your family meal. Maybe it's going through the drive-through and having a quick bite to eat before you go to soccer practice. You know, whatever your family meal time location is really irrelevant. It's about the conversations and the interactions you're having, and it can take place in so many different scenarios.
And I take it you're having meals together with your loved ones whenever you can?
Absolutely. And, you know, it is something that I cherish, and it's something that it's been a part of my life since I was a little kid. And it just, for me, I mean, obviously, I always think about going to my grandma's house. And whenever we go there, it seems like everyone else just shows up and we all sit down and eat. And not only is the food the best in the world, but it's about, you know, laughing and talking. And it's about those positive interactions that play a role. And if we go back to those 40 developmental assets, those positive interactions that children experience with their parents or with other family members is key to their development later in life. So the relationships that are formed through positive interaction are just tremendous, and they really set kids up for success.
Melissa, how about you? Right now, family mealtime important for you?
Absolutely. I'm really blessed to live only about 5 miles from my parents, and so my sister and I were roommates. We actually once a week still go over to Mom and Dad's and have a meal together, and it's been fun as I look back over the course of my life at the different stages of life, of the different traditions we've had. You know, my mom and I recently, we now have this tradition of doing empty bowls together. You know, whatever it is as a child or a teenager or as a young adult, just having different traditions, whether it's just with my sister or my entire family. And again, being creative and just using, we're all busy people. And so I don't have, you know, 5 hours every day to sit down with my family. But when I have 10 minutes, taking that and making the most of it.
Well, you know, I'll share my situation. You know, I've got a full-time job with Wisconsin Public Radio. My wife works full-time. My son is involved in all kinds of activities. When my daughter was home, she was involved in all kinds of things. We still find time every night of the week to have dinner together. In fact, I'm the one who cooks. I love to cook. I get a great joy out of cooking for the people that I love. You know, give me a cast iron skillet and some olive oil and some garlic, and man, I'm in heaven, you know. But sometimes we don't eat until like 7:30 at night, depending on how our schedules are. But I still think that is just so important in terms of maintaining the stability and structure that kids need when they're growing up.
And I think with your example, Glenn, you pick the time that works best for you. And that's something when we talk with families and we talk with communities is we're not prescribing that everyone has to sit down at 5:30 and you eat at 5:30 till 6 o'clock. I mean, really with the flexibility of family, you have to really figure out what works for you. And whether you're talking with a young Girl Scout or a little, you really have to figure out what they want to do too. And that's something that when we talk about family meals, it isn't just mom and dad cooking the meal. It's about getting everyone involved and, you know, getting the kids involved with the meals, or even the grocery shopping, you know, get them excited to sit down and take part in it too. So.
Now, on the Real Happy Hour flyer and on your website, you say that family meal times provide profound benefits, including fostering family togetherness. And if I can just read from it, establishing a sense of family identity, which helps children feel safe and secure in a confusing world.
Yes, and I'm a research guy, and I love the research. And the Centers on Addiction and Substance Abuse at Columbia University, each year they publish a report called The Importance of Family Dinners. And it's basically just a summary of a national survey they send out. And what they found for the last 10 years is that children and teens who eat more often with their families are less likely to use substances, alcohol, tobacco, other drugs. They're more likely to have healthy eating habits. They're less likely to report that they know someone who uses substance abuse. So it just kind of that protective factor of, you know, hanging out with the right people. But it also, they report having better relationships with mom, with dad, with brother, with their sister. And so it really is family meals are one of those interactions where it does make a positive impact beyond just that time at the table.
Another thing on the website, helping children do well in school. By listening to adults talk, they learn important language skills. That's something I hadn't even thought of.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially with family mealtime, but the other focus is family playtime. And, you know, we want families to spend quality time together, whether it is at the table or it's, like Melissa mentioned earlier, doing your homework, reading together. All of those different scenarios can make children better learners. And when you talk about school time too, is, you know, giving kids the opportunity to just go play with their friends, with their neighbors, with their parents. That time, you know, allows kids to unwind and be kids, and really sets them up for further success as well.
Encouraging healthy eating by paying more attention to what food is being prepared, how it's prepared. There's a break from the junk food that you get at the fast food chain.
Sure, yeah. There is a statistic somewhere I have in this stack of papers, but it says that children and teens who eat at home are more likely to eat healthy because they can, you know, purchase the healthy food, and it is a good alternative to the fast food as well.
And helping prevent weight problems, smart eating habits help kids grow up with a healthy weight and attitudes toward food and fitness.
Right. So, again, it goes back to, I think Melissa mentioned earlier, the routine of family meals. So it's, you know, the routine to sit down and eat and enjoy your food. You know, there's been seen a decrease in unhealthy eating habits and eating disorders. And all of these things are linked to family meals, too.
Now, kids who don't eat regular meals, again, going with your statistics, they're four times more likely to use tobacco, twice more likely to use alcohol, 2.5 times more likely to use marijuana, 4 times more likely to say they'll try drugs in the future. Mm-hmm. Are some of these statistics due to the fact that kids who use these substances simply come from broken homes with dysfunctional family, so of course they're not going to be eating together. Linda, what do you think about that?
I think it's all on relationships and the building of relationships in your family and with other peers. And 42% of our kids that were surveyed last year say they have only one positive, I take that back, only one adult in their life, just one. 42% of our kids here in Marathon County report that they just have one adult in their life.
42%?
42%. So that's why I think, you know, mentoring is the key here too, and that's why I bring this philosophy into all of my matches. I'm practicing what I'm preaching, so I can speak about it passionately, and I hope that our matches and our and the families that I'm working with are hearing what I'm saying, that it's really about building a relationship and connecting with your children or your little on a daily basis. You know, how was your day today? How was school? How did you do on that math test? Really, you know, showing an interest in their child. And of course, that's going to turn into these statistics that we're saying that, you know, kids that are connecting and having good relationships are going to do better in life.
How about families that live in poverty? What extra burdens do they have in trying to plan meals together and even affording healthy food?
our family was a big family to this little boy for a few years, and every Wednesday night was our night that we hung out with our little brother, and he ate dinner with us. Well, first of all, if I can remember correctly, our little brother being in his house, I don't even think they had a kitchen table. So he would come over on Wednesdays and eat dinner with us. And our family would be eating and talking and saying, hey, how was your day? How was your day today? Good. What'd you do today? You know, how did that turn out? And having really good conversation. And I remember looking at him one day and he was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, what are these people doing? They're talking and they're eating and this is so foreign to me. And I could see that he was uncomfortable, because it was. This is something totally different that he didn't have those connections and those relationships right in his own family. Like we had. Fortunately, after a few weeks, I think he was starting to feel a little bit more comfortable and you know, participating in our conversations while we ate. So, you know, again, it goes back to those developmental assets, which we, you know, to use, and the big ones are the relationships.
So there are problems. There are extra challenges, but maybe if you work hard enough, they can be overcome.
I agree. And this is the simplest thing you can do to help overcome some of those problems. You know, as we sit on our committees monthly, we meet as a group, and that's what we're going to do, is that we want to go into businesses and say, hey, we can tell you one thing that's going to make your employees more productive, and it's free, and it's easy, and here it is. And it's simply just reconnecting as a family.
Melissa, Beck, you've been nodding in agreement here.
You know, one of my favorite things is, as I think to our patch program that we have with the Real Happy Hour, and I think to some of the challenges that are out there as people participate in the Real Happy Hour.
And again, that patch program is for the Girl Scouts.
It is for
they
Girl
can
Scouts.
Win a patch.
Yep, absolutely.
The Real Happy Hour.
But one of my favorite parts, and going back to these relational challenges, is declaring family mealtime electronic and distraction free. And that's such an easy thing, yet it's still a challenge. And so I think that's a great place for people to start, is to remember during mealtime or homework time or whatever time it is, again, we're sending our kids a message. No, I'm not going to be checking Facebook. No, I'm not going to be answering the phone. When I was a kid, if the phone rang during dinner, the answering machine got it, you know. And again, easy to do, yet still a challenge, I think, in the society. But I think that's a huge place where a lot of families can start doing that one simple step.
I just want to add, the only requirement for family mealtime is a family. It doesn't require money. It doesn't require a fancy kitchen table or expensive food. The only thing that it requires is a loving family sitting down and talking and being together. And like we mentioned before, it could take place on a picnic table at the park. It could be at a restaurant. It could be in the car, you know, between practices. But really what we want to stress with Real Happier is, whatever that family time is to you, make it worthwhile and have those positive conversations. You don't have to have an extravagant dinner and fancy silverware and table settings to have a nice family meal. You can sit down with plastic plates and a couple pizzas and still enjoy the positive conversation.
Aaron Ruff of the Marathon County Health Department, Melissa Beck of the Girl Scouts, Linda Kepke of Big Brothers Big Sisters. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. If you just joined us, we're talking about the Real Happy Hour. This is an initiative born right here in central Wisconsin. It's not a national idea that they kind of glommed onto. It came right from Marathon County to get families to sit down and share meals together, not just on Thanksgiving, not just on Christmas, not just on any of the other holidays, but every day of the year, if it's at all possible, because there are so many benefits. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. We'll be back after this.
If you brought a big brown bag of them home, I'd jump up and down and hope you'd toss me a carrot. I'm gonna keep well my vegetables cart off and sell my vegetables. I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Oh,
table vegetable.
If you're worried and you can't sleep, just count your blessings instead of sheep, and you'll fall asleep. counting your blessings.
We're counting our blessings today on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're talking about the Real Happy Hour, a Central Wisconsin initiative to get families to sit down and have meals together, communicate, show their love. We've been touching on a lot of subjects today, touching on the fact that so many big box retailers and malls are open on Thanksgiving now. So even this traditional American patriotic holiday, the one day out of the year when absolutely you're supposed to sit down and share family time together, we're being told to go out and shop instead. And we've been talking about why groups like the Girl Scouts, Linda Koepke, of Big Brothers Big Sisters, Melissa Beck of the Girl Scouts are with us today. Why they're involved with this and why the Marathon County Health Department is involved. Aaron Ruff, public health educator, is with us. If you'd like to join the conversation, we've still got a few minutes left, 1-800-780-9742. We've got a question on Facebook, Aaron. You mentioned a toolkit, a resource on your website. What's included with that?
Yeah, the Family Mealtime Toolkit you can find on the website under the Toolkit tab, I believe. But it contains 11 chapters that focus on a variety of topics related to how you can create a successful family meal for you and your family. So topics range from menu planning ideas to grocery shopping tips to how to pack a healthy lunch. And really there's a few things in there kind of stressing the importance of a family meal and really that it does provide all those benefits. But it's a good kind of starter kit. The reason why we created it is that you can Google family meals and come up with millions and millions of hits. Mm-hmm. And there's really so many different places that you can start. And we wanted to create something locally that people could use in central Wisconsin to kind of get started and use it and kind of move throughout the toolkit.
Now, one of the things in the toolkit, I believe, are conversation starters, conversation cards. What in the world are those?
Yeah, again, to focus on the positive interactions at mealtime, we want to provide families and kids with the opportunity to start with positive conversations. So questions like, you know, how was your day today could be kind of livened up by who's your favorite superhero and why, or you know, what's one thing fun you want to do when the snow comes or something like that.
So you write that down on like 3x5 cards, yeah, and pass them out to the kids.
Yeah, exactly. So again, it's we provide some on the website, but it's a great way just to kind of come up with your own questions and generate some fun ideas that way too.
Well, let me share some of the questions with you. What's the nicest thing someone did for you today? If a genie gave you one wish, what would it be and why? What's the hardest thing you had to do today? What's the most fun thing our family ever did together? If you travel anywhere in the world, where would you go? If you could be any kind of food, what would you be? Describe what the family should do in the future, and what would you do if you were invisible for a day? Boy, I bet you'd get some interesting responses to that.
And really, you know, they're nice, easy, thought-provoking questions. I remember when I was a kid, my brother and I would come home, and my dad or mom would say, you know, how was your day at school today? I bet you 95% it was fine, just fine. Everything was fine. And so I wish, you know, we would have kind of expanded our conversation just to kind of start out with something. If you could go anywhere tomorrow, where would you go? And it just kind of opens the door for conversation, and it really helps engage, especially when we're talking about teenagers who really the last thing some of those teens want to do is maybe sit down and eat. But just to start with some of that fun conversation to get them involved.
You know, one thing I learned as a reporter, if you ask anyone, particularly a kid, a yes or no question, you're going to get a yes or no answer from them. But the importance of eating healthy foods, parents sitting down, eating fruits and vegetables and whole grains and drinking milk or drinking something healthy, when they do that, the kids do too.
Absolutely. And to go back to the developmental assets, if parents and other adults can be role models, kids are going to follow that. So when we talk about I'm going to bring school lunch in here quick because, you know, with all the new school lunch guidelines, they're providing healthier food to the kids. And the scenario I always like to play out is if a kid sees the carrots in kindergarten, he may not eat them. In first grade, he may see them again, and maybe his friend eats them. He might try them, and he doesn't like them. Second grade, he still sees those carrots on his tray. He starts eating them. He likes them. Then from fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade, he's eating the carrots because they've been on his plate for that long. And so the same thing goes for a family meal. If you're providing healthy options and give kids the opportunity to try them and keep trying them, there's a greater likelihood they're going to, you know, develop a healthy eating habit for the rest of their life.
Now, what about parents with unhealthy habits, always having alcohol at the dinner table, smoking at the dinner table? Linda, people can set a bad example, too.
Oh, definitely. You are, you know, the parents are the kids' role models. They're the first and foremost teacher. So that's what's, again, it goes back to mentoring and positive relationships.
Yeah, you work with big brothers, big sisters. Mm-hmm. You ever think some of those parents might need a big brother or a big sister?
Absolutely. You know, like I say this a lot. If the parents aren't meeting their own needs, how on earth are they ever going to meet the needs of their children? It's as simple as that.
And Melissa Beck, what things, name some specifics, are the Girl Scouts doing right now with this program?
Well, like I said, the patch program is the biggest thing. And so for us in Girl Scouts, you know, when we were introduced to the Real Happy Hour, you know, we're like, well, we could put the logo on our website, or we could, you know, it's easy to get behind an idea and say you're going to do something, but to actually put it into action. And so just over the last month, I've been really promoting this with my leaders. I've had a lot of people asking about it. And again, the girls using the patch program are not only going to be discovering what their family's Real Happy Hour is, but a huge component is teaching the community. So we're asking these girls, anywhere from elementary age all the way through high school, to be the ones, to be the advocates among other girls and teach girls in the community.
And Aaron Ruff, how can businesses get involved?
Well, that's one of the things we're working on now is talking with local organizations and businesses to say, you know, what's that one thing you could do within your organization to help promote and support families? So we do have a list of kind of some easy steps and some more time-intensive things that businesses can actually do to kind of start supporting this and endorsing it within their organization.
How is this initiative and this goal, how is this tied into crime, poverty, dysfunctional families, domestic violence, all the other ills plaguing our society?
I think, you know, when we talk about the family meal as a specific setting, it really is about the relationships that are formed. And when you can have positive conversations with your children and teens, those relationships are going to last a lifetime. So if you can have the tough conversations with your teens, whether it is about drugs, alcohol, substance abuse, you know, if you establish those positive relationships, you'll be able to talk to them about those tough issues. And that's ultimately, you know, parents, again, are the number one factor in a child's development. And so if you can create a good relationship and help steer your child or teen in the right direction, it's going to, you know,
it's going to pay dividends.
It's going to pay dividends, exactly.
Aaron Ruff, Melissa Beck, Linda Koepke, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Glenn.
Come with me to this house of living. Join with me and I'll join with you. Come on by and we'll learn by giving. I like to share and I want you to.
We want to thank today's guests, Aaron Ruff, public health educator with the Marathon County Health Department, Melissa Beck, community development coordinator with the Girl Scouts of the Northwestern Great Lakes, and Linda Koepke, the program director with Big Brothers Big Sisters of North Central Wisconsin. You can find out more about the Real Happy Hour at www.therealhappyhour.org. All one word. That website again, therealhappyhour.org. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Jane Ritger. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Arlo Guthrie, Johnny Cash, The Beach Boys, Bing Crosby, and Hartsfield. Next week on Route 51, we'll be spending Thursday sharing Thanksgiving with our families. Friday evening on Route 51, you can hear again the fascinating story of the Menominee Place Names Map, a UW Stevens Point natural history exhibit showing the original Native American names for the places of Wisconsin. Thanks for riding along with us today. Remember to follow us on Facebook. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we're heading out of town.
Come with me to this house of living.